At Subway, start 2010 right with surprisingly low-fat choices. The Piled High Subway Club or Turkey Melt, fresh toasted under bubbly cheese. Both are part of a Subway Fresh Fit meal, a simple way to enjoy eating better. Subway, eat fresh. The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
All right, this is a little late. Should have done this a few days ago, but unfortunately, I was away on a work trip. The Sundance. Sundance, Dave Jacoby. Sundance. What do you think of that?
Sundance, I think a lot about Sundance, but I think you summed it up very well with your winners and losers email that you sent.
Yes.
And I want to explore one aspect of Sundance a little bit further, which really I could visualize.
Yeah.
It was Sundance Mad.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, let me introduce you. The czar of reality TV on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, Mr. Dave Jacoby. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm good. Yeah, Sundance Mad. So this is it's a level of mad that I've never really seen before. It's like white guy Eddie Murphy pretending to be a white guy mad in like some 1983 concert. It's a combination of entitlement, disgust. It's like out of a movie scene where somebody says, "Don't you know who I am?" But it's actually happening, and multiple people are doing it.
And there's
in the same
no script
line.
Or cameras,
yeah.
or extras.
Yeah.
But take me to where you have witnessed this.
So what happens at Sundance is they have these parties, and you know the venues aren't that big. So a place can be at capacity pretty quick and they just can't let somebody in. So you have a crowd of like 15, 20 people. It's cold out. It's really cold. You have people who haven't waited in a line in 20 years, like these filmmakers and movie people and agents and stuff like that who just can't believe they're in a line. They're freezing and there's some doorman who they're just staring at in contempt. You know, that they can't believe this guy is blocking them from getting inside, and they just flip out, and they literally start screaming. They start yelling.
No.
Yeah.
They really started yelling?
Two nights in a row, Sunday night, Monday night, was in a line where the person behind us was like, "Come on, man, Jesus!" doing that thing. And then had the classic moment of the guy getting in the argument and walking away and then going, "That's all right. You'll always be a doorman." I swear I heard somebody say that. Yeah, heard that yesterday. So, yeah, Sundance Mad.
I like Sundance Mad. I feel like
Sundance Mad is good.
I feel like getting Sundance Mad right now.
You know what else is a good
mad? But you kind of put yourself in a position because in order to witness Sundance Mad so many times, you had to be standing outside the party too.
Yes.
Right,
but I was fine with it. Whatever.
Yeah, like I'll go with my boys. And I was like, I don't want to wait in line. It's like, come on, man. We'll stay out here for 15 minutes, and then we'll be inside. Big deal.
I did witness something fantastic. I was going to save it for a column, but screw it. So last night, we're at some waiting to get into some party. And by the way, all these parties are the same. It's not like they're these flashy parties. It's just people load into a room, and there's an open bar. But so Adrian Grenier comes walking in.
Is it Grenier or Grenier? I could never figure this out.
Adrian Grenier, whatever his name is.
I don't know, to be honest.
Comes waltzing in, goes through the line. He's got his five people with him. And everybody's waiting and everybody is Sundance Mad. But Grenier,
he's cool.
Well, Grenier, they have to let in. He's a filmmaker. But they won't let his friends in. So he's haggling with the bouncer to get his friends in. And on the show, on Entourage, waltz in.
Was his friend like one really short, business-minded guy?
No, older brother?
No. No, okay.
It was like two guys and two girls, I think. Oh. And they wouldn't let the friends in, so he left. I thought it was a nice little dose of real life versus Hollywood, because on the show, they waltz in.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway. And also, on the plane on the way home, I saw Suit from Entourage. The guy who called everyone Suit, Billy Walsh.
Oh, Billy Walsh. He's the one who generated Horowitz's nickname.
Yes, and also probably if you think Entourage jumped the shark, probably the guy you point to. As soon as he started getting a lot of lines, yeah.
Medellin as a project might have turned the corner for them too.
All right, get ready for the segue.
Whew.
As much as I enjoy Sundance Mad, I really, really enjoy Jersey Shore Mad.
Yeah.
There is no better kind of mad. We saw a couple fights. Really, I'm going to say the most successful reality TV show that MTV has had since probably the heyday of The Real World. Would you agree?
I think in me and yours, obscured, weird circles that we run in, yes. But I think The Hills, numbers-wise, like, you know, amongst, like, 14-year-old girls, I think The Hills was probably more, quote-unquote, successful as far as bottom line and viewership is concerned.
Rick, and what about from pop culture resonance?
I mean, it was a home run. It was a home run. And it was just fun to watch the wave sort of build in the distance, you know? Because you and I were on it early. Like, we saw the promo. We were like, oh, Jersey Shore, like, this is going to happen.
You know what? Like, to get ready for this podcast, I listened to the Jersey Shore premiere podcast that we did on the podcast. And we really were on it early.
Yeah, I mean, it was like two podcasts ago. You can just see the wave building in the future, and then the thing on the horizon, and the thing just turned into a tsunami.
I compared the two-hour season premiere to a Robert Altman movie, which I don't remember saying.
That was great. It's so complex.
Yeah, I think it stands.
Sure.
It was funny to listen to that podcast we did right after the first show in retrospect, not knowing, you know, at the time where the show was going to go and whether it was going to be a flash in the pan.
And it's one thing I find really interesting is the way that my feelings toward the cast has evolved over the past couple months.
And so do you want to go one by one?
No. I do want to go one by one.
Oh, as a whole, you mean?
But as a whole, like, I remember after that first podcast, I thought they were clowns.
Yep.
You know, like, I was kind of like they were animals at the zoo that I would laugh at. Like, oh, aren't they funny? Aren't they crazy? But fast forward to the finale, and I'm emotionally invested in Ronnie and Sammy's relationship.
Right.
I really want Vinny to be happy and to grow successful, and I wish nothing but good things on his family. And like, I'm really happy that he's in that position. I wish Pauly D, I want him to become a huge celebrity DJ. Like, and Snooki, I just want her to find a man.
Like, right.
I found that they went from something that I gawked at and laughed at and poked fun of to human beings that I really sort of like became emotionally attached to.
Like, the situation could hear this podcast, think what you just said is really nice, somehow get your number, call you and say, I'm in New York this weekend, I'd love to crash your pad. You wouldn't even think twice. He's on the sofa.
I might sleep on the sofa and get to buy him some new sheets. Seriously. The situation stopped by Sports Nation and the reviews were just glowing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, glowing reviews. Everyone's just talking about oh, God, he's so nice. He's so sweet. He's nothing like he comes off in the show.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
You know, it was beyond just how funny it was and the drama and, as you said, this weird emotional attachment that developed to the characters. I actually have some new words that I use now in my everyday life.
What do you mean, bro?
On the show. Like grenade.
I end every sentence with bro.
Bro.
I find myself doing it like cabbies. Like, yeah, 47th and 8th, bro. There's no one in the cab looking at myself like, did I just take that from Ronnie from Jersey Shore?
I did the, last weekend I danced along the sidewalk and did the, one shot, son! One shot!
One shot!
I did that at the Ronnie Punch.
The grenade is a great one, too.
Grenade is the second best one. The best one, and one that I really wish I had known about in college and had incorporated in my daily lingo, was the robbery.
The robbery is good.
The robbery is in progress. At that point, I knew I wanted to commit the robbery.
The
I just
robbery.
Loved everything about that.
So did I. There's some other one. I liked Stalked My Whole Life, bro. Why are you stalking my whole life? I just like my whole life being added to Stalker. Like, I feel like that's going to become part of the whole thing. It's like, well, David, you probably shouldn't have been outside Michelle Pfeiffer's house. You're being charged with stalking her whole life.
The best, I think my single favorite freeze frame moment was when the situation was about to commit the robbery. Vinny goes to the bathroom and they catch the situation kind of looking with this mischievous look on his face, waiting to make sure he went in the bathroom before he attacked the girl that, was it Vinny?
Yeah, it was Vinny.
Yeah. Before he just basically laid the work down on this girl, and he just had this look in his eye that I've never seen before.
Well, I just did the one part that could have made that better is if it happened in Club Karma, because
yes.
he stole the boss's girl, and
yeah.
then he later had his girl stolen from him. I thought the whole circle of irony would have ironed itself out nicely if it happened in Club Karma.
Another thing that's usually when a show hits like this, there's some sort of backlash. I haven't felt any backlash. Each week in my football preview, I had some sort of stupid Jersey Shore word. Never got any emails from people saying, all right, you're into the
enough of this.
I don't think there's a way to beat this into the ground. I think it just keeps going and going.
There's some of my friends will be like, oh, yeah, like I saw that Jersey Shore show. It's just so dumb. Like, it's so stupid.
How dare they?
No, but then they'll proceed to, like, drop references about how stupid it is from, like, the first segment, the second segment, the third segment, the fourth segment, and the fifth.
Right.
And it's like, oh, it was so dumb that you just happened to watch the entire thing.
Yeah.
You just have to be on the other side of that. Like, I'm not ashamed to watch Jersey Shore and love it.
I found that for the first time in a long time, like, when I have nothing to watch or late at night when I need something to watch, I'm about to fall asleep, I'll just turn on MTV and hope it's on, even though I've already seen all of them. I'm fine jumping into any episode. I don't care.
I thought that was a strange phenomenon about this, because usually with television shows, it's like, oh yeah, saw it. You can't even be in the same room if you've seen it before.
Yeah.
And then this the Jersey Shore plays more like music.
Yeah.
Like, you're really excited for the first five or six times you experience it, and then it starts to, you know, have depreciating value.
I got in this bad habit the last few Thursdays because I've been having a little writer's block lately, and I've been writing a lot of my football column on Thursdays and staying up and tinkering with it. And the Jersey Shore it comes on at, I think, like about 9 o'clock Thursday night, because they show the one from the week before. Mm. And then they show the new one, and then they show the new one again, and they showed it, like, they just show it four straight times. So I was, for the last 3 weeks, I was watching the new one and then watching it again and again as I was working on my column. I mean, it was like background, like I'd put on like Boss Skaggs.
Yeah,
background.
Yeah, it's
some
nice.
70s folk music or something.
Like,
I don't know.
It's like Mozart.
It's really, I don't know. It's calming.
What's writer's block like? I'm not a writer.
You know what the problem is? It's when you don't write every day. And writing is like golf.
Oh, you got to get your swing back?
Day. Yeah. So what I have to really do is get back in the habit of writing, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day of stuff. And it's hard. It's like exercise.
Jersey Shore, I gotta get back
to the gym.
Jersey Shore's off the air now, so maybe that'll help you out.
Yeah, but now, so what happens? They clearly they have to get these people back together.
No. Oh, see?
In a new
no.
venue.
Disagree.
What?
Disagree. I don't know how much I may or may not have, you know, been researching the Jersey Shore online. I may or may not be, you know.
Are you going to talk about the Page Six reports?
Yes, I am going to talk about that.
I may or may not have researched as well.
So the cast of Jersey Shore is now in negotiations with MTV because they want to get paid more per episode. And they've decided that they've united sort of like a union of self-described Guidos and Guidettes to rise against the power
yep.
that is Viacom and MTV. And they're asking for something like 10 grand an episode. And
by the way, seems cheap.
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. As a television producer, I would look them right in the face and say, do you think we can't find 8 more people like you that want to be on this show after its success? Like,
I don't know.
Do you think there isn't another situation out there? Because there is. It's
How
called
dare
the predicament.
You? How dare you for the second time in 10 minutes?
What,
Come
bro?
On.
What do you
Come
mean, bro?
On,
bro? What do you
Come
mean,
on, bro?
Bro. Bro, I'm just telling you the truth, bro. It is what it is. There's other. And,
well,
you know
could, I mean, couldn't you say the same about The Hills? Conrad was making $100,000 an episode, and she has no personality.
If Vinny was on the show next year, would it bother you?
No, I think. I mean, if you're going to do a fantasy draft, I think situation has to come back. I need JWoww. I definitely need JWoww back.
I don't need JWoww. There are these.
I disagree.
I'm telling you, within the tri-state area, we have these people in spades. I mean, these people are everywhere.
I got a great JWoww email that I'm going to read you.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
It was from Ryan in Riverhead, New York. JWoww is the Daryl Strawberry of reality television. If we were to make an SAT analogy, here, we could say that having a boyfriend is to J-Wow as cocaine was to Daryl Strawberry.
Ooh.
Daryl had a good career, provided some excitement with his combination of raw power and speed. Much like J-Wow, short temper, fake breasts, and trashy outfits provided us with great entertainment. Unfortunately, Daryl's cocaine use robbed us New Yorkers of his true talent. The same way having a boyfriend robbed us of witnessing J-Wow's true talent, hooking up with random juice heads at every possibility. We could thank that poor sucker, Tommy the boyfriend, for robbing J-Wow and the American public of her reality TV Hall of Fame potential. That's a great point.
That is a good point.
Single J-Wow, I think, goes to levels that we're not even prepared for.
Here's another thing. I've mentioned this to a friend of mine. As a television producer, no people with a boyfriend or girlfriend at home. It's not allowed.
Don't they try to have a couple so they can have the
whole
breakup?
Just so they can have the drama breakup thing. But it's not even worth it.
Well, in the real world, though, it's the tradition of the girl hooks up with one
with
of the male roommates,
yeah.
And the guy comes and they play pool and it's awkward.
Yeah, yeah,
that's a staple
yeah.
of every romance.
And I enjoy that, to be honest.
Yeah, I do too.
But J-Wow was, when she said that when she was single and she was ready to tear it up, I mean, I've seen her dance when she had a boyfriend.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine what would happen next.
Well, that's why she needs to come back.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's other J-Wows out there. There's K-Wows. There's T-Wows.
I think I'd be fine with Sammy. I'd like to have Ronnie back, but I think I'd be fine getting rid of Sammy and just replacing him with another brunette who's cute.
Yeah. It was
although I did like her penchant for escalating any trouble where that would cause somebody else to get in a fight.
I mean,
she had knack for that.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about this Ronnie thing.
Yeah, well, all right. Let's start breaking down the characters. Ronnie first.
I've got to say this. Who is out at a bar and sees Ronnie and says, "That's the guy I'm going to pick a fight with." I mean, he looks like a saber-toothed tiger protecting his cubs. It's like, I want nothing to do with that man. Seriously, he could step on my feet, look me in the face, then step on my feet again, and I would look him in the face and say, "Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, my feet were in the way."
Yeah, you over-apologized to Ronnie.
Yeah. And these guys, and then, I mean, Ronnie actually, like, for what it's worth, he tries to avoid confrontation as hard as he possibly can. Like, when that schlub is, like, following him down the boardwalk, Ronnie's like, "All right, bro, all right. I'm not from Staten Island, bro." And he's doing everything he can not to beat the guy up.
I would compare him to Liam Neeson in Taken. He just wants to go through his day without causing trouble. But if you unleash the beast, it's going to be unleashed.
Yes. Pretty good movie, by the way.
Good movie.
Yeah, I like that movie.
Me too.
But who's fighting with Ronnie like this? And what are you fighting with Ronnie about? The fact that he's not from Seaside?
Well, you just laid out the reason why this show cannot happen with the same cast again. Because if there's a season two, don't you think everybody goes after all of these guys?
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, if you consider the future of this show, there's a lot of hurdles they have to get over.
I don't think they can do it in Jersey Shore. I think it was, I might have been with Joe House on a podcast a couple weeks ago saying that I do think they need to move them to another locale for season two.
Well, no, I mean, that's a fact. I think that the mayor of Seaside, I believe, has gone on record being like, "This isn't happening again."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's a mayor of Seaside?
I don't know. I'm kind of making stuff up, but whatever. Joby's not going to fact check this.
He's also the boardwalk janitor.
But they're talking about, like, Belmar or these other places around there. And
well, why not Manhattan Beach? Or why not Hollywood Hills? Or why not South Beach?
Yeah, like I think that. I think you have to take the sort of trashy beach culture. I mean, trashy is you know, it's a subjective opinion.
Yeah.
You know, apologize to all the residents of Seaside. And just take it out of the Northeast. I think it's like Lake Havasu or something.
I personally don't think that the show can happen again. I don't think.
Yeah.
Because now there's been so much attention. There's no way you could do it even with a different cast in any of the Jersey Shore towns.
Yeah, because I think then, you know, last summer I think they had this sort of luxury, quote unquote luxury, of people walking by saying, "Oh, it's a camera crew. That's weird."
Yeah.
And then kind of walking by. And I think this year they would walk by and say, "Oh, camera crew, that's Jersey Shore. Let me go over there and try to, you know."
I want
to
get on. I'm going to punch him.
I'm going to get beaten up by Ronnie.
Yeah.
And the guy that got beat up by Ronnie, one of the couple, he signed a release. Like, they showed his face.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, at some point in the bar, and his girl didn't sign a release. At some point in the bar, a producer walked over and was like, oh, hey, man, like, you're going to be featured on this show. We're going to make you a star. Why don't you just sign this piece of paper?
The guy who didn't sign the release was One Shot Son. One Shot Son did not sign the release.
One Shot Son did not sign the release. One Shot Son somehow ended up in, like, the downward dog when he was, like, passed out.
I like that was another term I learned. The situation said, he's sleeping, bro. He's sleeping.
That's what happens. That's what happens on the shore. You come out and you talk trash. Guess what? You end up on the floor. Sleeping, bro.
I like that. That was great. The situation, did he hook up this entire show?
Well,
was that a confirmed hookup?
We're treading on troubled waters here. I believe that he had women, and I believe he made contact with these women via his lips. But there was in the real world, like, they're having sex every week. In this show, I don't think there was any, like, confirmed sex outside of Sammy and Ronnie.
I thought Pauly D, the DJ, would be doing some business. If there's ever been a show that was crying for the Joe Media, you're going to have to bleep this, but this is what MTV calls it, the they haven't shown or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Yeah.
There has to be a healthy amount of things that they didn't show in this.
The situation certainly went, he listened to Method Man when Method Man said, if you can't get yourself a 10, the least you can do is get 5 twos. and the situation definitely went with the quantity over quality.
And was proud of it.
Yeah, he's like, look, 5 twos is a 10, you know?
How old do we think he is after watching that whole show? So could he be 32, 33?
Anywhere between 14 and 54.
Yeah. Now, in the reunion show, we learned that Vinny not only lived at home, but was proud of it and planned on living home until he got married, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. Vinny's family coming over was another nice scene.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
It's like, oh, hey, Mom, I'm on a reality show down here in Seaside. Why don't you bring you and, I don't know, 30 or 40 of our extended family over just to visit the house? Have a meal?
You know,
in our living room?
Watching that reunion show when Angelina was on, it felt like it happened like 7 years ago.
Don't you feel like Angelina, they should have had her on for the first segment and then gave her a trash bag and said, can you walk off the set holding this? I think that would have been appropriate. They're like, well, Angelina, we had 8 episodes. We have 8 segments in the show. You're only going to be here for the first one.
I got multiple emails about this, and this is something that, I said to my wife as well. There was no worse career move than her leaving that show.
Oh, yeah.
An episode and a half in or whatever it was.
Like, right now she's working in some nail salon as, like, the hostess in Staten Island.
And she's didn't stay quite long enough to derive all the fruits from being on the show.
Yeah.
But, there's really no reason she should have left either. We're still not sure why she left.
Yeah, I think it was like to save her relationship with a married guy. Like, I don't know what it was.
I watching those after shows, it seemed like because she had a history with the situation, she just wanted to get out.
She didn't want that revealed?
Yeah. And she just didn't want to be around him.
It was never fully explored exactly what their history was.
Do you know how much money, though, she probably cost herself on the weird party circuit?
Well, I mean, considering I would pay $1,500 to have lunch with the situation, I can imagine that there's a lot of opportunity cost loss there.
It really seems like they're available for anything, too.
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted them to come to your wedding, which it sounds like it's happening in September.
Yeah.
You could probably, we could all chip in and for your wedding gift have at least one Jersey Shore cast member there.
Maybe a couple, because I want to see them beat up the beat. You know?
I want to see Roddy dance.
I want to see beat up the beat. It was weird. In the after show, they were like, look, I mean, I'm not Fred Astaire, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm not the type of guy who's going to, look, I'm not the greatest dancer in the world myself. But when they were like, oh, so, the hostess was like, oh, so who's the best dancer? And they're all immediately like, Ronnie.
Yeah.
And I was going back in my memory. I was like, oof, I remember seeing Ronnie dance, but he kind of looked like he was on a treadmill or something. You know, like I don't remember him exactly gracefully floating across the dance floor, but I don't guess that's not their thing.
What was your take on the reunion, the Sammy, the Ronnie, the fallout, the hidden video of her in the situation, and she goes to the bathroom and
I mean, first of all,
seemed a little contrived.
I could. Oh, you're going contrived?
Just a tiny bit. Because it seemed like she knew the clip was coming.
Yes,
because
it seemed
she
like
was already upset about it.
Fair. That's this one thing I watched. While I was watching, I said to myself, she's seen the clip. Because, you know, even as this, even as Yalisa, I believe her name is, starts to sort of transition into, oh, yeah, look, we've got some video that you guys haven't seen. Right then, Sammy's face just changes.
Yeah.
And the hostess is like, oh, are you okay? You look like you're about to cry. And her quote was something like, nope, just hanging out. It's like,
yeah.
No, you're not, Sammy, because in 5 seconds from now, you're going to be crying in the bathroom.
What did Ronnie say? He said, I cut girls like barbers.
Yeah, yeah. It's easy for me. No problem. Cut girls like barbers.
Yeah, I'm going out late tonight.
I'm going out late tonight. All right, guy.
You know what else is weird is there's this weird lack of code of honor with the guys.
Oh.
You know, like, if you had, let's say I met your fiance, but you had only known her for a couple weeks. And you went to the bathroom and I started hitting on her. You would get mad at according to the Jersey Shore code of etiquette, you would get mad at your new girlfriend.
Yes.
Not me, because you don't blame me, because that's what we do in the Jersey Shore.
I mean, that's another thing is, if I'm Ronnie, some stranger getting mad at me because I'm not from Seaside doesn't really anger me. But watching one of my roommates sit on my girlfriend's bed.
Yeah.
And to say things to her, like, I don't know the exact quote, but something like, you know, you really got to consider who you're with, bro. Like, you know, I mean, you really should think about this. Some things ain't meant to be, bro. And if I, like, saw that.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's in the same room. That's a problem.
Major problem.
It's a violation.
Well, I think the robbery was a violation.
Yeah, the robbery was a huge violation.
And it just, they were totally okay with it. I mean, there was some back and forth, but nothing, you know, it wasn't a deal breaker for these guys.
No, and that's sort of one part of the difficulty I have with my feelings toward the situation.
Yeah,
is because I've got firsthand information that he's the nicest, sweetest guy in the world, and then you watch some of his behavior in the show, and they just seem to be strongly at odds with each other. Those two views on him.
You don't think he could just pretend he's a nice guy?
That's crazy. You're trying to tell me that the situation can just pretend to be nice for 3 hours to television producers that are putting him on TV?
His nickname is The Situation. That means he can adapt to the situations.
I don't know.
I also enjoyed in the season finale, which actually was a little bit lackluster for the most part.
Yeah, they had nothing.
They really didn't have a lot to work with, but they did go to the beach finally.
Yeah.
It's nice to see the beach.
For anyone that's not familiar with Seaside, New Jersey, it is actually on the beach.
Yeah.
There is a beach there. It's not just a boardwalk through a field.
Well, so the problem is they do GTL, and GTL doesn't leave a lot of time for the beach.
No, it doesn't.
Gym tanning laundry,
especially when you're in the gym for 3 or 4 hours.
Joe Mead.
Yes.
Mead, do you practice GTL now or no?
None of them.
You look
none of them. You 0-for-3 in the GTL. That's not good.
Joe, you look pretty tan last time I saw you.
No, I know.
I'm going to do a couple Jersey Shore mailbag questions for you.
All right, I'm in.
Czar, since the Czar is here on the BS Report.
I'm in.
From Matt Ryans in Nashua. Is it just me, or are you incapable of hearing the word situation without laughing hysterically? My mom could tell me, your sister is pregnant, unmarried, and heartbroken. We definitely have a situation. And I'd start laughing hysterically. What do you think? Has he altered the word situation, like, from now
forever.
On?
Forever. Oh, forever.
Heretofore? I think
if you think there's not a conference room right now in Atlanta on the top floor looking over at the city and someone seriously sits there and is like, Mr. Turner, I think we have to change the name of one of our premiere shows. It cannot be called the Situation Room anymore. Because the large portion of America, when they hear Situation Room, they imagine a duck phone and a guy with abs doing sit-ups in the middle of it. And we can't be talking about serious stuff if those are the thoughts in all of our viewers' heads.
Why wouldn't is VH1 and MTV, are they owned by the same company?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Five.
Why wouldn't, like, the WB, what's the channel that shows High School Reunion? WB?
Oh, I don't know. I've never watched that one.
Oh, that's not acceptable.
You don't watch Bad Girls Club. Touché.
Yeah, that's true. Why wouldn't one of the other networks just offer The Situation a show?
Yeah.
At the very least, the first episode gets a huge rating.
I can think of the title already.
Would it be called The Situation or
The Situation? The Situation.
Would it be called Situation? Would they do a spin on it?
No.
Like Situation Room.
Situation Nation.
Nah, they just call it the Situation.
Yeah, it's no problem. The Situation is he's a star, you know. And when you when you watch that first show, you're like, all right, here he is.
Would you just hire the Situation, Ronnie, Paulie, and Vinny, just the four of them, and then move them to like Hollywood and have them chase girls in a different location?
Now you're starting to think along with some of the things that I've been thinking, and I'm thinking that these people are really ripe because right now they're a fish. And they're in the water, right where they belong. But you know what these characters that America's in love with, you know what they deserve?
Yeah.
They deserve to be out of that water.
Are you going to go Real World Road Rules on me?
No. I think we need to go like Beverly Hills.
Oh, you're going like Simple
Fish Out of Water series.
Interesting.
You know, like they've got, like it's just, you're just completely flipping on them. It's or Aspen would even be better. Keep them away from the shore.
What about like New York City, Tribeca?
I mean, they're all sort of like from this area.
So you're going Bev Hills.
Yeah,
well,
no.
There'd
like
be nowhere
Aspen.
To go out.
I like Aspen. I'm going Aspen. Bring these guys to Aspen. They have to learn to snowboard.
They live at a ski lodge.
There's nowhere to tan.
I'm cold, bro.
There's no. Cold here, bro. It's cold. This thing on my foot is slippery, bro. Why am I top of a mountain?
Let's go to Dave from Philly. Is there any way that MTV doesn't throw the Jersey Shore cast into the next challenge? How great would it be to watch Snickers throwing herself at every guy and tell me you wouldn't want to see Ronnie in the situation and the challenges? Make it happen, Simmons.
I'm terrified that won't come to fruition.
Well, what if they did some sort of Fresh Meat thing where it was the Jersey Shore cast, like some sort of miniseries?
It's going to be, I think there's a conflict of interest with the two different production companies. That's what I'm afraid of. It seems like a no-brainer.
So it'd be like the equivalent of the WWF and the NWA in the 80s trying to do a pay-per-view together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be so great. Even if it was just a one-off, just an hour special, Jersey Shore versus, you know, the best of the challenge.
Yeah, couldn't they do like a three-episode something?
Yeah. I mean, it would just give me a weekend. All it takes is two nights in a hotel for these guys. I'll shoot it myself.
Mitch from Heartland, Wisconsin.
Where's he from? Heartland, Wisconsin?
Yeah. He said, after Ronnie got into the fight with the bald-headed kid in the boardwalk, he walked back to the house and opened the freezer. He then grabbed a bag of ice and applied it to the shiner on his left eye. The problem here is that the ice was already in a bag in the freezer. So this means these guys are planning on getting in fights and having bags of ice ready when they get home. MTV, you've done it again.
I'm going to say frozen vegetables.
You think that's what he had?
Yeah. I mean, isn't that what people do when they get punched in the face? They go home and grab frozen vegetables.
I don't know if it's true or not, but I like the thought of these guys having bags of ice in the freezer just in case.
And
after what we saw over 10 episodes, I wouldn't put it past any of them.
We haven't really explored that, like what's going through that guy's mind, the guy who started the fight.
Hey, I thought he was on something.
Something isn't right with him. And his girlfriend, like his girlfriend's like trying to physically escalate a confrontation with Ronnie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Ronnie the rhinoceros on the Ron juice.
The only problem is Ronnie's short. He might be a lot shorter than we realize. He might be like about 5'5", which make the guy think he could take him.
But still. And then, do you see the punch he threw?
Yeah.
It looked like he was trying to, like, roll dice against the bathroom wall or something. Like
it wasn't good.
He was closer to hitting the back of his girlfriend's knee than he was Ronnie.
My favorite part was when they got broken up, they just immediately went their separate ways like two hockey fighters.
Yeah.
That same kind of code of honor you see in the NHL.
Yeah. So let's just skate over to your corner.
This is from Greg in North Barrow, Massachusetts. He was watching the Snooki beatdown part one. And he thought this was the most underrated quote of the year from Ronnie. He better hope I don't get his AIM, bro.
Say that, bro.
Here now in 2010, I thought Americans had turned to more convenient forms of communication, i.e. the book, Gmail, chat, etc. Proof that Jersey Shore hasn't changed in 20 years.
Wait, say that quote again.
He better hope I don't get his AIM, bro.
He better hope I don't get his AIM, bro. Because I will send him a really mean-looking emoticon, and he doesn't want that. I'll send him one of those smiley faces with a frowny face and devil's horns. I'm serious, bro.
Same reader also asked me if I had a Jersey Shore name, what would it be? You don't need one because you're the czar. Yeah. And I guess maybe I don't need one either because I'd just be the sports guy, right?
I don't know if the czar and the sports guy, it might be too highbrow for the Jersey Shore nickname. You know, I think there has to be some Z's involved and some I don't know. I mean, everyone's sending me the link for the nickname generator.
You think because I'm a writer, maybe I'd be Brain?
Oof.
Brain, that Brain came in.
With two N's or something, though. Let's put two N's at the
brain
end.
Brain with two N's?
Yeah, brain with two N's.
I like it.
One thing I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
This was 5 minutes of television that I was just baffled by. I mean, you'd think, but in episode 7 of The Jersey Shore, that you wouldn't be floored and shocked.
You wouldn't be confounded?
Yeah. I mean, you'd think that you sort of, you understand it. You get the characters. You understand how it's going to work. There's a pattern. All right, I get it. JWoww is working at the Shore store. You know, she's peddling her New Jersey-themed T-shirts. And, I believe it was Labor Day weekend, and she happened to see some... I believe the quote was gorilla juice heads.
Yes.
And there was just so many gorilla juice heads that she couldn't control herself anymore.
Yeah, she almost went into heat like an animal.
Yeah, it was weird. So she decides to go home and get Snooki. And she's like, Snooks, guess what? There are gorilla juice heads out there. Tons of them. And they're all on steroids. And they're all huge. We got to go find these guys.
Right.
And then, alas, the gorilla juice heads had moved on.
It was a little bit like if somebody was on a fishing trip and they went out just to look at the ocean thinking about the trip later, and then they saw just marlin jumping out of the water. Oh, we got to get the boat. We got to get the boat. They're out there. That was her mentality.
The whole term juice head is something I'm surprised they're so comfortable at labeling people.
It's funny that we're so reviled by PEDs in our sports, but yet in the Jersey Shore, it brings us delight and it's encouraged.
Oh, very much encouraged.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ask Snooki or JWoww, said, what type of guy would you ultimately want to settle down
with? My ideal man would be Italian, dark, muscles, juice head, Guido.
Whoa, what was that?
Just a little soundboard action for you guys. Whatever. Move on.
Tim D in Ocean City says, isn't it time you break out an all Jersey Shore mailbag? Which is kind of what we're doing here on the podcast.
Yeah.
He thinks we could settle issues like, is the situation the best reality TV star ever?
Oof.
I mean, that is – now we're talking about – I almost feel like maybe I do another book, the book of reality TV, and I have the pyramid.
Literally, I sort of looked over at the shelf when you said that. I'm not kidding. And I saw your book, and I said to myself, it's like comparing basketball players era to era.
Yeah.
Will Chamberlain would be Puck. It's kind of like the first guy to really come in and change the game.
Yeah.
And the situation would be more of a Dwayne Wade sort of type, like – not even on Kobe's level. It's like, you're new and you're sort of the thing of the moment, but we've seen better.
So we're like a Jack Osborne, season one of the Osbournes, was kind of like a...
He's on the ground floor.
Well, he's like a Penny Hardaway type. A very strong start.
Yeah, yeah.
Immediately, and then all of a sudden knee surgery, and now nobody ever talks about him.
Yeah, longevity's important.
Well, that, that's a good segue because I do worry with this Jersey Shore. Like, if you remember after season one of the Osbournes, we were all head over heels for that too. And oh my God, it was a phenomenon. And Jack Osborne's so funny. And within 6 months, everybody hated them.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of complications for this to continue to be like this. I mean, I think what you really have to do is just take in the moment. And just enjoy that season for what it is, because it can never be that again.
And almost we're better off if it doesn't keep going. Don't you think?
If it doesn't?
Yeah. It's a pretty big risk for this to keep going, and then it just becomes kind of sad. And we're like, oh, I hate these guys now.
Yeah.
I don't want to hate these guys.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to. We're better off. This is like a nice spring break hookup where you don't exchange numbers at the end. Kind of like, that was Cancun. Let's just, no.
I would say I want them to go out on top, but that would be wrong because they're not on top. I would say I want them to go out on the bottom.
Beating up the beat.
Plus, I really do think their lives will be in danger if there's a season two of The Jersey Shore with this cast. I think people will pick fights with them every night.
It won't be the same. It just really won't be the same. Another thing I want to talk to you about.
Yeah.
Samantha, is dating Ronnie.
Yeah.
They're driving home from, the club or whatever. You know, just, as me and my fiance will do, just make fun of each other constantly, And Sammy's calling Ronnie stumpy and short. And then Ronnie says that she has a Fred Flintstone's toe.
Yeah, you don't make fun of a girl's toes. He should know that.
She just completely flipped out.
Girls don't like it when guys make fun of their toes.
I'm saying, but if you called him short and stumpy.
Stumpy is kind of an insult. I do think that did open the door.
Yeah, it's like he's just kind of, he's just just hitting the ping pong ball back to your side. This is no reason to get crazy.
It's not a couple that should probably be together.
There's
a hint of violence in the air at all times with them that made me uncomfortable.
I was so divided when it came to the push.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't. You just can't.
Do that.
You can't do it.
You can't do it.
You cannot do it.
But who knows what the rules are in the Jersey Shore? I mean, we subsequently saw a fight that had two girls pulling the guys off. I've never seen that before, ever.
Yeah, and they have no. The two girls had no ill will towards each other whatsoever.
Yeah, because it was like so NHL-like. I was kind of hoping it would spin off, and then they would go and pull the jerseys over their head and do that whole thing.
They would drop purses.
Tim from Jersey City also wants to know who would win a fight between CT and Ronnie. That's a pretty good question.
Oh, I'm going CT.
Yeah, he's probably got 6-7 inches.
Yeah, I think by all accounts, Ronnie's probably like, 4'3", 4'4".
Right.
And CT's a big angry guy.
Yeah. Who do you think's been in more fights?
I'm gonna go Ronnie.
Yeah.
The Jersey Shore, like this, it's just like that. I have a feeling. Here's another thing that I'm curious about: is I feel like there'll be a huge rise in tourism at Seaside Heights this summer.
Ooh, almost like the San Diego Zoo, but on the East Coast.
Yeah, there'll be like this whole like hipster gawker, not the website, like actual gawking class of people that will sort of flock down there to see these animals in their natural habitat.
And I like it.
There'll be some collateral damage, believe you me.
What are you looking at?
Yeah. Nice beard, bro. Why don't you get shampoo, bro?
I got something for your camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, there's going to be a bunch of sort of like pseudo-intellectual, thick-rimmed glasses, beard-having, corduroy blazer-wearing guys. They're going to go down there like and be like, ha-ha, won't this be great if we just go down there and sort of laugh at the Guidos? And I think they'll literally get eaten for breakfast. And when I say eaten for breakfast, I don't mean that as a metaphor.
Chris in Petersburg wants to know if there's a pop culture, sports, or political equivalent to Angelina leaving the Jersey Shore an episode and a half in before it became a phenomenon.
Yeah. McCain picking his running mate.
Oh, you're going that way. I'm saying like somebody who got off the bandwagon right before it became a giant bandwagon.
Oh.
Maybe Tony Dungy leaving the Bucks?
Oh, I don't know.
That's a tough one.
That's complicated. Sports, political? Like, come on.
Yeah, that made my brain work.
Yeah, jeez. I'm talking about Ronnie over here.
Matt from Jackson, Mississippi wants to know, who'd be the odds-on favorite for the first Jersey Shore cast member to be in a sex tape?
Well, first of all, I'm pretty sure every single one of them except for Vinny has already been in a sex tape, but it hasn't been released yet.
Okay.
I mean, there's no question about that.
All right.
That's gonna be the situation. Let's not forget the situation may or may not have been a male dancer before he was on the show.
Oh, so you're saying a sex tape that's
already
filmed
exists
that will come out with him?
Yes, yeah. Somewhere Joe Francis has already fielded a couple phone calls on this very topic.
All right. You don't think something with Jay Wow and Greg Oden, something like that? Come on, bro.
Bro, the thing is, everyone thinks those Greg Oden pictures were taken from his computer. They were actually taken from Jay Wow's computer.
One more. Ben in Denver would like to point out, what do Sammy Sweetheart, Dick Vitale, Ian Ziering, and the real Donnie Brasco all have in common?
The real Donnie Brasco. I don't know, Ben. What do they have in common?
Joe Mead, do you know?
I don't.
They all attended William Patterson University.
Huh.
You know how the colleges, they have the alumni of distinction on the website? That would be fantastic. Sammy Sweetheart. Yeah.
The
Dick
real
Vitale.
Donnie Brasco, Sammy Sweetheart.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Sammy, not that big of a sweetheart.
Nah.
I'm just going to throw it out there. Not really a sweetheart.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
That's sweet and didn't really have a heart.
Not at all.
Finally, last one. Will from New York said, if you worked for MTV, wouldn't the biggest no-brainer in history have been running a Jersey Shore marathon on Super Bowl Sunday, followed by the season finale airing at 10 o'clock? Ooh. Every female between 16 and 35 would have a Jersey Shore party to combat having to watch football. And every dude would have flipped over the minute the Super Bowl ended to watch Jersey Shore.
It's not off the table that they are going to do a marathon on that day.
Yeah, but they could have saved the season finale and had it for 10 o'clock.
That would have been pretty good.
Probably a mistake.
I think a lot of guys want to watch post-game stuff.
Really? By the time the Super Bowl ends, I'm out. I'm ready
to
get out.
But you're forgetting that MTV is not like ESPN. They don't like sort of simulcast everything across time zones.
You know, speaking of ratings, when you see the rating that happened for that Packers, the Vikings-Saints game, which was the biggest rating since the Super Bowl.
Did it break a billion?
It got like 57 million. Like there hasn't been a non-Super Bowl rating that was bigger since the last Seinfeld. Now you know why the media pumps Brett Favre down everybody's throats.
Yeah.
There's an appetite for Brett Favre.
For sure.
The media gives people what they want, and apparently people want Brett Favre.
They do. Like when there's a Brett Favre story, it's like known around the ESPN newsroom that ratings are going up.
Right.
It's that simple. It's just there's one variable in the equation. Brett Favre is in, ratings go up.
I think that people need to just give up the "I'm tired of hearing about Brett Favre" thing, because clearly people aren't.
No, I'm tired of hearing about Brett Favre.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing about being tired of hearing about tired of being tired of hearing about it. I mean, is that right?
That just hurt me. My head.
Yeah, it made my head hurt.
I think that means you have to move on. One more thing. I just want to say, like, poor Snooki. You know, just poor Snooki. I mean, the girl was just trying to find a guy on Jersey Shore, and it got to the point where, like, the last night she went out, she was like literally wearing like a corset.
I know.
Like those are where she had to go.
Yeah. You made me remember what I was going to say when Joe Mead played the soundbite.
Oh, nice.
There was that classic. Well, it was a couple episodes ago when she was hitting on that guy who it turned out his girlfriend was there. And she was sitting on the bench.
What is he thinking?
Sitting on the bench talking to him, and they had to blurkle her groin the entire time because she was sitting there with her legs open, and whatever was showing had to be blurred by MTV. just casually
sitting
there.
Not in a public place.
Just at a bar at 10:30 at night.
Yeah,
being blurred.
Also, like, when there's this one episode where she, like, took over the dance floor and started doing handsprings and whatnot, and they had to blur her whole thing the entire time. And then they cut to J-Wow's response to Snooki exposing herself to the entire club doing handsprings. God, she was just going after it. I was so proud of her.
Yeah, she was.
Like, I was so proud of her. Like, that's the emotional response you had to watching your girlfriend expose herself to strangers. Pride? Pride? You're proud of her?
That's one of the many things that made it, at least on the Mount Rushmore of great reality shows ever. I'm not sure if it was the greatest, of the greatest, but it's in the discussion. It's all that matters.
It's coming out of the box real hot, and I'm just going to enjoy it right now because the future doesn't look bright for this franchise.
No, it doesn't. And also, what do we have now for reality TV? I've been watching The Real World Washington, you know, just because it's my franchise. I got to support it. I'm twice as old as half the cast members at this point.
It was tough when I'm listening to like a couple of 22-year-olds argue about whether or not God exists. Yeah. You know, it's not exactly like Socrates and his mates in robes, you know, philosophizing.
Yeah, it's not a very likable cast. I do like the one guy who can't find a girlfriend.
Andrew?
Yeah, Andrew. I think he's all right. I don't mind him.
I don't think you'd want to live with him.
No, I wouldn't want to live with him. I'm saying he's a good character.
I don't know.
You're even against that?
Look, who am I to judge? You know, but he just seems to always be looking for a punchline, looking for attention, wearing stupid stuff just to stick out. Right. He's just not my kind of fella.
I can't say I've been watching diligently. He's just the one that stood out. Yeah. Where I was like, you know, what's the black guy's name?
Pooh. I don't know.
Whatever his name is. He's, you know, taking that angry belligerent thing to a whole other level. I like when they have, so this is why I keep watching the show, because I like the characters who, they had this whole episode where he said, one of the girls said how she wanted to be in Playboy, I don't think she was fat, but she's definitely, you know, has more meat on her bones than the other girls.
Sure.
And the guy says, well, that's it. You're going to have to lose some weight before that happens. So he makes one of those things. So the girl obviously gets upset, and it goes through the whole reality arc of, come on, man, you can't say that to a girl you know better. You got to.
Yeah, situation said it to Snooki.
Right. But this guy was like, hey, I'm just keeping it real. That's what I do. I keep it real. He did that whole thing, and it's like, is that really keeping it real? Like,
no.
Being a jerk? What's real about that? But yeah. That seems to be this new theme on reality shows now. The guy who has to keep it real by just coming out and insulting people.
Like, I'm doing you a favor. I'm not going to lie to you behind your back.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should.
You know what? Guess what? You're hurting my feelings. I'm crying now. And I'm going to go in the bathroom and I'm going to throw up.
She's been in the bathroom for 25 minutes. Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't have said that.
You know what else is real? My eating disorder. That's real. Right. And it's your fault. So maybe you should keep your mouth shut instead of keeping it real.
So what do we have? We got Survivor coming up. What do we have, Czar? Give us the slate.
Survivor's coming up. Bad Girls Club is an excellent television program.
All right.
I read on the interweb yesterday that in the reunion show, there's a fight where one of the cast members ends up with blood all over themselves.
A fight?
Oh, yeah. This is all women, by the way. There's a fight in the reunion show where one cast member ends up bloody and multiple earrings get ripped out of earlobes.
Oh, no.
Is that something you're interested in, Mr. Simmons?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
Might be interested in that.
And the catchphrase this year is, I run L.A. There's one chick who, like, it's she's like some sort of a robot. And after she has two drinks, all she says is, I run L.A.
Hmm.
It's pretty good.
And we have a... We don't have another challenge coming up, do we?
There's a fresh meat challenge, but it's on the horizon.
It's on the horizon. It's a ways away.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, it's just real TV now. Lost, 24.
Lost, yeah. I mean, I don't watch 24 anymore. I try.
I'm already out. I finally missed the one yesterday, and I don't care if I see it.
At this point, I'm literally not intelligent enough to watch Lost. It's like, how do you expect me to remember... You know, Saeed's middle name when he was a child before he changed it. And in the background, there was a song playing in Arabic, and the Arabic lyrics meant that the smoke monster was really not a smoke monster. It's Locke pretending to be a smoke monster. Like, I can't do it. Jacob.
You know what it's like? It's like trying to follow baseball now with all the stats.
It's impossible.
You can't just watch the game. You got to know everybody's VORP and all that stuff.
And that's why I like Jersey Shore. It's like a boxing match. Guess what? This guy's trying to hit the other guy in the face. Okay. There you go. All right. Simple.
The czar of reality TV, Mr. Dave Jacoby. As always, a pleasure. It's sad. It's we might never do another Jersey Shore podcast for all we know.
We might not. But, you know, we can't change the past. We can only work with the future.
I'm not mad about it, and I'm not Sundance mad about it. I'm just sad.
You're getting good at this. You just bookended the podcast.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Take it easy.
Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
You laughed, you cried, you turned up the sound repeatedly, and now it's all over. This concludes another installment of the BS Report. And with all the talk about sports, Bill Simmons neglected to mention this important just-breaking news. Subway is home to the famous $5 footlong, so celebrate your favorite Subway famous $5 footlong, like the classic BLT or the Big Bowl Black Forest ham and cheese. All stacked your way with the meats, cheeses, and fresh crisp veggies you love.